All right, we ready?
Yep.
Okay. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Top DAT podcast. Welcome. I was just telling everyone that's on here that this is already my favorite episode because we've been waiting to record this episode since 2019. So here we go. We have a live one for you all today. Super excited, so much so that we're gonna short out some of the stuff that we would usually cover, but we have a great set of guests. So we're gonna just start introducing our guests. Our first guest is Dr. Margaret Alston from Morgan State University.
Margaret L. Alston, PT, PhD, has been an associate professor and coordinator of the Pre-Professional Allied Health Advisement Track at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland since August 2016. Having 16 years of teaching and administrative experience in physical therapy, higher education in the schools of medicine and community health and policy at four different American universities, and 35 years of clinical experience primarily in pediatric development and orthopedic physical therapy, Dr. Alston enjoys a balance of teaching, student mentoring, university service, and pediatrics-based research in the areas of sudden unexpected infant death and foot and ankle imbalances in infants and children. In December 1995, Dr. Alston earned her PhD in human lower extremity development from the University of Iowa. Her dissertation topic was a quantitative analysis of greater tarsal development. At Morgan State University, undergraduate teaching and mentoring for pre-professional allied health students has become a highlighted dimension of the Department of Health and Education and the School of Community Health and Policy. Thanks in part to Dr. Alston's work, the number of competitive students admitted into professional programs like physical therapy, occupational therapy, and athletic training continues to increase annually. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dr. Alston.
All right. And next up, we have Dr. Emily Hildebrand. Emily Hildebrand, PhD, LAT, ATC, is a clinical associate professor and program director of the Professional Graduate Athletic Training Program at Towson University in Towson, Maryland. She is rounding out her 10th year at Towson University, but has been an athletic training educator for 17 years. In addition to teaching and administrative roles, Emily is actively, and I mean actively, involved in the Mid-Atlantic Athletic Trainers Association, where she provides mentorship to the Student Senate with bells, whistles, balloons, and garlands, and collaborates with the Symposium Planning Committee to carry out the student program at the annual conference.
All right, give it up for Dr. Hildebrand, everybody.
Thanks. Woohoo. Woo, woo, woo.
All right, next, we have Claire MacArthur. Claire is a graduate student from Morgan State University. She graduated a class of 2023 with a Bachelor's of Science in Health Education with a concentration in pre-professional physical therapy and athletic training. In May, Claire will begin her master's program at Towson University. So give it up, everybody, for Claire MacArthur.
And next up, we have Mr. Colin Francis. In July of 2023, Colin Francis assumed his role in newly created position as Associate Athletics Director for Student Athlete Health, Wellness, and Performance. In his administrative role, he oversees all aspects of student athlete, athlete health, and wellness, including sports medicine, strength and conditioning, nutrition, and mental health and performance. Francis moved on to the Mecca after spending the prior 10 years as an athletic trainer in both the collegiate ranks, Clemson University, Morgan State University, and Indiana University, and the National Football League, NFL, with the San Diego Chargers, now Los Angeles Chargers, Carolina Panthers, and the Baltimore Ravens. Francis was an athletic trainer for USA Swimming at the World University Games in Kazan, Russia, and is the founder for the Baltimore Area Sports Health Initiative, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to advance the health care of athletes in the Baltimore area.
Everybody, give it up for Colin Francis.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the invite.
First and foremost, I want to thank everybody for coming. I know everyone's time is super critical and important. We all got places to go, and I'm glad you all carved out a part of your day to get this episode recorded for us. So let's dive right in. You mentioned Bash, Dr. Valentine, and Colin, that's your baby. That is your nonprofit. So would you mind sharing a little bit about Bash and sharing any, you know, cool things you got coming up on the horizon?
Yeah, for sure. So Bash is the Baltimore Area Sports Health Initiative. That's how we're known here in Maryland. Our parent organization is Bringing America Sports Health. That is an organization that I get to lead. I'm the executive director of. And our mission is to, like you said, advance the healthcare provided enough for athletes in the Baltimore area and beyond. I think that it is really important to make the sports that we love as safe as possible. I think it's important to create as many pathways for students to pursue careers in athletic training. Most importantly, I think what we do is a crucial first step in getting more athletic trainers, you know, placed in our schools. So it's been a great experience, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
Awesome sauce. And you have a really cool gala coming up. Would you want to share a few nuggets about that? The Bash Ball?
For sure. Yes. Yep. On Friday, May 3rd, you know, we're hosting our third annual Bash Ball. We bring together community leaders, student athletes, professional athletes, you know, allied health professionals, a bunch of families and friends. It's a night of celebration and education. And this year we're raising money for Bash's fellowship program. You know, if you look at athletic training in Maryland, you know, only seven school districts of the 24 in Maryland fully staff their schools with athletic trainers. So we need to do a lot better. You know, 37% public schools across the country, right, have full-time athletic trainers. So, you know, our fellowship is our one way of doing one more. And what we do is we matriculate high school students, kind of like we're talking about today, right? We take high school students and we figure out ways to accelerate them through success. So I won't spoil too much, but please come out May 3rd and support us. If you need tickets, you know, you can search baltimoreathletehealth.org/bashball, B-A-S-H-B-A-L-L. And I appreciate that. It should be a fun night. It's Studio 54 themed, you know, so everyone loves, athletic trainers love to dress up. So I'm ready.
That's going to be lit. I can't wait. All right. So that's that. Let's get into it, shall we?
Dr. Holland, we have a lot of students on also. You want to give them a shout out?
We do. Shout out to all of the students who are, I think they're all from Morgan State University, and they are all in the pre-professional track. Studying allied health, some physical therapy, some occupational therapy, and some athletic training. And hopefully a few who are going to end up in this program that we're here to announce today. Oh, I'm so excited. I keep saying it. I've been literally waiting to record this episode since 2019. This is how long we've been working on it. So who would like to go first? Dr. Hildebrand, I'm going to call on you. Would you mind sharing with everybody the reason we're here today?
The reason why I'm here today is because I am equally as excited as you, Brandon and Danita and Colin and Dr. Alston, all the people that have been impactful in pushing together a partnership or a memorandum of understanding, if you will. And really that partnership is to have students from Morgan State University complete their undergrad degree and then matriculate right across town over to Towson University's graduate athletic training program. So that's the short version of why I'm here, is to talk about that.
Awesome. Well, so would you mind sharing a little bit of your role, particularly what your role is at Towson University?
Yeah, absolutely. So as Danita introduced me, I am a licensed athletic trainer, certified athletic trainer here in Maryland. And then at Towson University, I was essentially hired to teach athletic training coursework, and I still do that. But my role probably about the past 7 years has really shifted in terms of working as the program director. And anybody out there that has been listening to this podcast or knows about the transition in the entry level degree for athletic training knows that we are now at the graduate level. So with that, my role has grown even more in terms of a recruitment, right? And when it was an undergrad level, I still did recruitment, but students would come to an undergrad, they would see all the different programs and look for it. Now, you really have to educate more because you have so many students who are interested in an allied healthcare profession. And unfortunately, they don't always know that athletic training is one of those options. And so at Towson, we are one of two programs in the state of Maryland. I want to shout out Jackie Durst, who's out in Western Maryland, Frostburg State University. So it's just the two of us. Yeah, where Danita went, alma mater. So it's just the two of us as programs. So it's really a big part of our role as a program director is to find students that want to come into our program so that I can have a job, really, is what it comes down to. So, yeah.
All right. There's another guy on this panel who went to Frostburg. No, I'm just kidding. Dr. Alston, would you mind sharing a little bit of your role at Morgan State?
Okay. First, I need to confirm that you can hear me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. My screen is doing gymnastics here. I don't know. I don't even recognize what's happening. In any case, yes, my role at Morgan State is to help coordinate and orchestrate and teach in a special pre-professional allied health track. We are swiftly moving to that nomenclature because it's not just about pre-professional physical therapy, but it's about occupational therapy and athletic training. And I think that is so important for students to see themselves in the track's name. And so we don't want anybody to feel like they're being misled or in the wrong place. No, the beauty of the curriculum at Morgan, that these budding professionals are following, it is a launching pad for all three of those allied health professions and many more. But we are focusing on those three primary allied health professions. Now, I teach 5-6 courses in the track specific area that have to do with clinical science courses so that students can kind of taste and see what it is that they would be working with, knowledge base that they need to have. First of all, highlighting human anatomy, which we strive to lay down pretty heavy because it is the substrate and the basis for effective clinical care for these three professions. Another one of my roles is to help students lay down the stepping stones to produce competent and competitive applications to graduate schools, as well as feel confident in their knowledge base. That's very important. And I guess the third thing I do is I want to increase the interinstitutional collaborative partners in the community, as well as collaborate with professionals like Mr. Holland and Mr. Francis and, of course, Dr. Hildebrand. So it's been fabulous to have the connections that continue to grow. We have a lot of connections downtown Baltimore, and we need to next move to Frostburg. And I'm going to take the hit for that. I kind of dropped that ball, but I'm ready to pick it up again. It's just been so much happening at Morgan and coming from my office that I'm still a one-arm paper hanger and I'm running as fast as I can. So with that, I'm going to conclude my remarks, and I want to give a shout out to John East Bland, Jordan Skillern, Kayla's at Towson, along with Claire will be joining Kayla. Kayla was one of our graduates a couple semesters ago, and she's already in the master's program. Hi, Kayla. As well as Madeline Wharton from Morgan, Shakaya Perry, Trine Oram, and Zakiya Carter. So there would be many more students, But I'm sure that they, some of them are in class and some of them have other conflicts. But welcome you all. And we have a good thing going here and we want to replicate it at Frostburg. So let's just keep it moving.
Awesome. 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 I'm super excited. So, Colin, I'm going to pick on you for a split second. I know your time is short, man, but can you describe your role in the partnership, helping to build a partnership?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. And, you know, I don't want the lead to get buried there. I don't think anybody understood, you know, the gravity of what Dr. Hildebrand just announced. You know, for the first time ever in the state of Maryland, we have a historically Black college and an allied health training program under an agreement that guarantees enrollment into the program for graduates of that historically Black college. So that's pretty groundbreaking, if you ask me. And you ask me how it gets started, you know, BASH all started with trying to get athletic trainers in city schools. I did not like that you could go to a Baltimore City high school football game and there was only EMS there. I didn't think it was fair. For far too, you know, health inequities are prevalent all across our country, but that's one thing that I could have a hand in. At that point, I worked for an organization that carried some sort of clout in the state, so I used that to my advantage. The first thing they told me was that they couldn't find anybody who wanted to work in Baltimore City. And I said, well, that's not really true because people from Baltimore City want to work here, so why don't we recruit in Baltimore City? When you look at the demographics of athletic training, physical therapy, strength and conditioning, athletic training is about 10% African American, physical therapy about 6% African American. That proves that these urban populations are not looked at as recruiting places for these allied health professions. So I said, okay, you know, well, that's a problem. How do we fix that? You know, I had the fortunate opportunity of working at Morgan State early in my career. And anybody who's worked at an HBCU can tell you that there are student athletic trainers or student A's or student trainers or whatever they're called at that institution that want to do what you do, but they have no way of doing it. Right, they want to be physical therapists, athletic trainers, sports med physicians, but they have no way of doing it. At Morgan State, we had about 20. Here at Howard, we have about 40 student aides that work with our sports. So those are the people that we need to be recruiting into athletic training programs. I don't want to hear, oh, you know, how do we recruit the African American student? How do we recruit a minority student? You know, this is low hanging fruit and really simple. So my role in it was just connecting the dots of institutions and making kind of the no-brainer, right? Then we have to say, how do we break down? How do we get more students in there? We break down the barriers for student success. Take away the $75 application fee. Oh, we can't do it. Yes, you can, right? It's a real thing that sometimes people in my community have to stay home. So let's get them a way to go through the junior college so that they can stay close to home and then get into the school. Let's build communities. Let's get GA positions in residence life and other areas to get school paid for. It's too easy to do these things that already exist, right? It was that we didn't add any classes at Morgan State to create this pre-curriculum. We just highlighted the ones that were already there. So anybody who comes before me who says, oh, it's impossible to recruit African-American students, just didn't try.
Or they didn't ask the right people. Now they know. This podcast, they're going to blow up your DMs, man. And I know that's going to be huge.
And that's very key that Colin spoke a lot about students, high school students wanting to become athletic trainers. The podcast we just did
last week
was about a young man who, the first time I met him, he was like, how can I come back to more games? How can I be there to help you? Take my contact information, please. Every time you have something, I want to be there.
Yeah. And we actually have Claire, you're on. You can speak a little bit about that. What was it that drew you to the field or to the profession?
I too was a high schooler who grew up wanting to be an athletic trainer. Once my competition days kind of faded out after high school, coming to Morgan State in 2019, I knew that I wanted to be involved. I reached out to people summer coming into August of 2019. And I just tried to connect with the right people. I put myself out there and then landed a spot with Morgan State football. And I worked with them from 2019 up until 2023 graduation. So
that is
awesome. The opportunities are there. You just have to be very curious and you have to want to learn more and open yourself up in those spaces to have the opportunities. So
awesome.
Emily, you had something you were going to share?
I was just going to also, you know, acknowledge Colin. I think he's being a bit humble. I think one thing that we talk about often that it's already been said here, and it's just in so many of your podcasts, is the partnerships. You know, that's for 10 years now, you know, I'm not from Maryland. I've taught elsewhere, and, you know, now I've been here for 10 years, but one of the first people I met when I moved to the area and took on the role in education here was Colin. Colin was at Morgan State, and he was a fantastic preceptor for our students. And you build those partnerships because you never know when else and how you can continue to collaborate. And that's exactly what happened because of the relationship that Colin and I had, and he worked with our students that, you know, really when we started to look at this transition to the graduate level and really think about, you know, we can have a really critical hand in the recruitment here and starting these pipelines from high school to undergrad to grad. So at the end of the day, we're producing really fantastic clinicians. That's the goal. You get them in that pipeline earlier and they know about it. So they have a really great foundation. They see an athletic trainer. They're around them in high school. They have a great foundation in their sciences and undergrad and continued exposure. And they come to a graduate program, and it just makes the flow so much easier. So I'm grateful for Colin connecting me then to Dr. Austin. And again, what athletic trainers do is very interprofessional, and we work with a diverse set of patients. So it's just a no-brainer. You start recruiting so we can add to that diverse workforce.
So as I'm listening, and of course, I wasn't involved in the process, but I was along for the ride. Everything we're talking about here, to me, as a professional, and even if I maybe were a layperson, just privy to the information, just makes absolute sense, right? You have a deal with all winners and no losers. Literally there, to me, I can't imagine someone who's put at in a disadvantageous position in any way, shape, or fashion through organizations and companies making and universities making these deals. But it took like 5 years. And I know, you know, things at the college level are really slow and very bureaucratic. But it just felt like this made so much sense for everybody. Undergraduate students now have a pathway and a direction. They have a plan. And graduate programs now have a solid pool of diverse applicants to pull from. So, but what were some of the challenges in getting the deal done? Is anyone willing to talk about what was difficult and what maybe went smoothly?
I think that progress is a speed.
Right.
You know, so as long as we're moving in the right direction, that's the speed we need to be moving in. So we ended up getting the deal done. So that was what it was. I also do think that there is a certain financial component to every single aspect of life. I don't speak for Towson University, nor do I speak for Morgan State University. But I do know that these institutions have lobbying firms that they work with, right? If you want to get the needle moved, you need to have some kind of financial backing, or you need to be able to attract that institution. So we have small grants. We only have a $3,000 grant from the NATA at the Diversity Advisory Committee on top of the $180,000 Corey Stringer Institute Innovate grant. We're not a $1 million grant holder. We don't bring a lot of power yet. So it is hard to move the needle at some of these institutions. That's why you can see someone come in with a multi-million-dollar donation and immediately, you know, get the press release and get all this. And those donations take some time. Those donations take some effort, but they get moved to the top of the list, right? So I think that's a big thing, is when things always get moved on top of you on the list, it's really hard to get deals done quickly, right? Look at your email box. That first email you get is so important. But when you get 10 more, now all of a sudden it's out of sight and you don't even get to it for days. So I think that happened. We got pushed down a lot because we didn't have enough power.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, it always sounds good when you talk it out. It seems so simple, right? And then I think one thing that I kept getting told was we don't have a template that exists. So, you know, we continue to be that squeaky wheel of, here's what we're looking for. We can do this. And I'm appreciative of our dean to continue. Now, we did have some changing of position, right? We have a new president. We had provost to, like, so there's all those little things, and I'm not making excuses, but it was something that initially they were like, well, this doesn't exist. We don't have a template for something like this. So, well, let's create it. And that's what we had to do. And then, of course, you get the legal side of things and they've got to go back and forth. So yeah, it gets pushed down and a lot of people looking at something, but really it was a couple of us that just kind of kept, you just got to bring that email back to the top.
Yes. Right?
And it's because it does. I'm guilty of it. I'm as an administrator. It is, there's a lot. And when you want to be part of a solution, it's going to take work.
For sure.
You know, would we have liked it to happen super fast? Of course we would have, because I'm grateful that Kayla and I'm now grateful that Claire are here. But what I think about is, who did I miss?
Right. You know,
who didn't get to learn about athletic training earlier and know that we have something right here in the USM system? So
I think also to keep in mind, you know, we all have a lot of overlapping skill sets, right? Physical therapists, athletic trainers, strength and conditioning coaches, occupational therapists. We all have overlapping skill sets. One thing we do not overlap a lot with is Office of General Counsel. They look at things from a different lens than we do.
Right.
Yes.
The procurement office looks at it from a different lens than we do, a much needed lens, a protective lens. So they go through every single aspect with a fine tooth comb. Yep. Although it was 6 years in education for me to write something, you know, that my education is what gives me that knowledge. You know, they take months to pine over every last word. So when you look at a document that's 30 plus pages, it would seem that it would take a lot of time.
For yeah. Sure. So when
does it make me more patient?
Go ahead, Dr. V.
No, Dr. Austin was going to say something. I'm curious, right. Change speed. So I want to hear what she has to say.
Well, you know, it's even though I'm very much in the system, and sometimes drowning in it, it's still baffling to me how long things can take. But, you know, it's a matter of, especially in undergraduate studies, where I am, a faculty person like myself is working as many as four different layers concurrently the whole semester. You know, student advising goes on constantly, which is pretty daunting and trying. Then there's teaching. Then in my case, I'm running concurrent labs with the teaching, and I'm the curator of a lot of equipment. I'm by myself. So it's, you know, when we think about these things, we think about the research that also that the university is requiring, service to the university. It's more work than can ever be done. And so it does require a certain amount of patience by those that are kind of looking in, and a lot of education to the president, with the president, the provost, the chairs, the deans. This is a form of rehabilitation medicine, athletic training. Have we seen it before coming through as an academic option? No. And so if you can imagine having a snowstorm and a small shovel to clear the pathway, that is what it's like to make headway with something new and you know, albeit marvelous and sensible and necessary, it's takes a yeoman's job to get it done. But once it is done, which is what it is now, we've done it. We have a blueprint. The general counsel now has all their 40 questions answered. I had to sit and type a dissertation answering their 40 questions about the where's and the how's, the why's and the if's. They need to make sure that there was no duplicity going on with other internships, with other degrees. It required a lot of education and it takes time. And so we're grateful. We're not complaining. We are grateful for the opportunity with Towson, Dr. Hildebrand's buy-in, Colin Francis. Colin Francis is the wind beneath the wings of many people. And he certainly has been for me. I just don't know that I would have had the stamina to keep going, to keep running into walls. But Colin has been there. Brandon has been one of our cheerleaders. And so I can't thank these three people enough that we have arrived. And like I said, we've done it. So it's going to be pretty easy now to finish out with Frostburg, and we will. And we have erected this. Now, you know, my dean calls me and says, okay, Dr. Alston, now we're ready to do a major in allied health. We need to do that. It's time. And so we've got another challenge. In the meantime, I take it upon myself to increase the pool of competitive students, competitive applicants, so that we don't have to guess whether or not they will be invited to one of the seats at Frostburg or Towson, but because they have the resume, because they have the credentials, because they have the GPA, because they have the focus, because they have the experiential skills, they will be ready. And so that too is education for students to understand that they must put white hot focus on their career goals and take advantage of every opportunity that there are around them, and there are many, for them to land on their feet and have a profitable, gratifying, skilled-based career where they are representing themselves, their institution, their race, all those things. It's critical. So, you know, this is all very good news, and I'm going to stop because sometimes I can start to sound like my minister at church, but I think we get the picture.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you just feel it. You gotta let the spirit move when it moves.
I was definitely thinking in my brain, Deaconess Alston, I hear you.
Love it.
So we kind of talked a lot about a lot of things here. We've talked about the need, the value of the partnership, the roles in the institutions and the organizations. What are the special features and unique benefits at the two individual institutions here that students may be able to take advantage of?
I can start. I think one thing that was really important that Colin did touch on was we didn't want to add any more classes to the student at Morgan State. You know, athletic training, just like other healthcare, allied healthcare careers, is an accredited major. So, you know, we're looking at what do we have to ensure that a student is coming in terms of a prerequisite, and what is something that they can actually get while they're in the program. So, ensuring what our application prerequisites were aligned with the program that already existed at Morgan State was really important. So, just by Claire and Kayla going through this program at Morgan State, they're checking that box for those prerequisites. So they don't have to take any other classes. That's first and foremost, right? Because time and money, we all want more of it. And sometimes hard to get. So
absolutely.
Prerequisites was a big thing. And then another thing that I'll touch on that I think is really important for me is within the curriculum at Morgan State, there is an internship for credit. And what we were able to do is then get, so we have this memorandum of understanding, but then we made that clinical affiliation agreement so that now Towson is an option for that student to complete their internship. And yes, there's Division I experiences, but what's even better than that is now that student at Morgan State is almost living their future. They are surrounded by other students that are already in the graduate program. So they're learning about the graduate program before they're even in it. They're working alongside those students. They're collaborating with those students. And then they're working alongside and collaborating with those preceptors. So now, just to use Claire as an example, if she doesn't mind, something that she really emphasized in her when we interviewed with her is that she was grateful to have that football experience at Towson. She had done that at Morgan State, now at Towson, but she's like, okay, now I've seen football. Now what that did is she doesn't necessarily need to start with that population. It's giving her 5 other clinical rotations in our program that she's kind of already seen one of those. So now it's giving her the opportunity to go other places, but then be able to come back to that one particular population, football, Division I football, if she wants to see that as her future. So again, I said it before, that pipeline, that's kind of what we mean. She's in it earlier before she even starts the graduate program. And I think we know, if you want to throw research into it, we know that students are going to be successful the more opportunities they have earlier to see the good, the bad, the ugly, right? All the things. And I think, you know, I don't want to speak for Claire, but maybe she would like to, I think that's huge, really important. So those are my two things.
Yeah. Claire, if you are so inclined, would you like to express your feelings on that?
Yeah, definitely. I think she summed it up really well for me, considering that we've talked about this a lot. I will also say just the support from Dr. Alston and Dr. Hildebrand throughout the internship. You know, I spent the first, I believe, 6-7 weeks of the semester with Dr. Alston. She was just preparing us for the internship. You know, what are you going to want to know ethically? You know, policy wise, what are they expecting out of a professional, and then going in to Dr. Hildebrand's environment and kind of showing her my skill sets and the support that she gave me while allowing me to continue to learn. And I just felt trusted on both ends. And I think that's what this agreement symbolizes, right? Is, you know, Towson trusts that Morgan State is going to develop young athletic trainer prospects, and then they're going to matriculate into Towson and continue to flourish in their journey. So, yeah, I think it was really important, and it really made an impact on the future of my career at the end of the day.
So I want to ask you too, while we have you speaking, is how might your experience be different without a partnership like this?
Definitely. I think my experience would be different because I think a lot of people have stress or, you know, nerves about what's next after I graduate, whether it be finding a job within physical therapy as an aide, or, you know, do I want to continue on and go to a 2-year athletic training program? Do I want to pursue my doctorates of physical therapy? It's just so many options available. But without agreements like this, sometimes the education isn't always there to learn about those opportunities. So, I think developing this program, showing people about the opportunities there are within Baltimore, but then also the opportunities for professional teams, Division I teams, Division II teams, The surrounding location of Baltimore provides so much as well. So without this pipeline, people may never even think about what Baltimore has to offer as far as education, learning experiences, clinical experiences. And, you know, it's just so much to give. So hopefully through this, we can give back to Baltimore as Colin Francis wants to do.
It sounds like you guys found your student ambassador right there.
Oh, yeah. One thing Emily mentioned about before we got to this question was she was concerned about who she missed.
Yeah.
And that's huge, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Dr. Alston talked about all of our various hats that we play, and I truly believe in the boots on the ground effort and getting out there. And Clary gave me chills. That's exactly it. I mean, mm-hmm. That's it. We just showed her what could be, and now she wants to do that. I mean, I want students, I don't care where you're from. I just want good students that want to be good clinicians and want to stay and work in Maryland and give back. And that's the cycle there. So I think all of us that are athletic trainers and have been doing this for years and years and years, like, I'm getting tired of people don't know what athletic training is. Yes, we know that. I'm aware, right? Like when I went to school, I thought it was the coolest job ever. But it's really not until I had to wear that hat of recruitment that I'm like, dang, they still don't know. Mm-hmm. So what can I do instead of continuing to raise the problem? How can I be solution oriented? Right. And one of the solutions for me is we're out in the high schools. My students go and do it. They're extensions of me. They're selling it. They're like, this is what I do. This is what I want. Right. Claire, you've seen it. Kayla, you've seen it. So now all we're doing is partnering with fantastic programs. Dr. Alston has a great program over there. So of course I want the best students.
There she is. You want the best students, but yeah. You mentioned also you want students who want to learn athletic training, and our patients and our clients want us to learn it too. Once they figure out who we are and what we do, they're always like, wow, I never heard of this. Like,
yes,
this is great. So the need is there.
The need is there. And now Claire is going to do it. And in 2 years, when she's out and has a fantastic job, she's just now part of the cycle again. And that's that growth. And that when we talk about community partnerships, that's what it is. It's not just a one-time temporary thing. I want this to continue and develop further.
You know, athletic training was always built on partnerships, right? Partnering with the equipment staff, partnering with the coaching staff, right? Partnering with each other to get better, partnering with other healthcare entities, right? Athletic training has always been about that, trying to figure out what's best for the athlete and what's best for the team, right? Trying to figure out, I don't have enough money for this brace. How do I partner that with, hey, we still got to play. You know, even the junction, you know, the junction boys, right? How do you partner? The van is only but so big. How do I take all these people to the train station when they want to quit? You know, that was the athletic trainer. So it's always been partnerships. So this is just one more step, I think, in the seamless, you know, transition of it.
Okay. So with that being said, Emily and Colin both said this is a step. Emily said this is the progress. So where do we go from here? Now that we have this, where do we go from here? How do we make this bigger? How do we get other people to catch on to this?
Well, I want to announce that this summer I will be involved with about 38 to 40 selected and eligible students from 6 magnet schools in an anatomy academy. And they will learn some basics about human anatomy, figure out if they enjoy learning that type of biologic science, and be introduced to these three allied health professions, we need to start at the high school level so that they understand the kind of focus, the kind of material that they must master and enjoy. Additionally, we just had Explore Morgan Day, which is a big marketing day that happens twice a year, where about 3,000 students come in from various states to the Morgan campus, and they sit in on different seminars about majors and concentrations. And we had about 30 folks in the Allied Health room. And then they also learned that this can be this Morgan can offer a launching pad and an opportunity to achieve the finish up the prerequisites that are necessary to go to various graduate programs. And so these are some of the small inroads that, you know, I have had my hand in, and certainly with even word of mouth. I don't want to take that away from what makes something small grow larger. Word of mouth is huge. And so this, in addition to getting more money for marketing, more opportunities like this one, to become more active on social platforms will be important. But from my office, I just need help. And so my dean knows that, you know. And so the more hands we have in the mix, the more that we can produce. And also the more competitive and confident pools of students we can develop, then we'll have many more applicants than one or two each enrollment cycle. So we're looking forward to growing steadily. I don't know how many leaps and bounds, but we do look forward to steady growth in athletic training.
Awesome. How is it as you see it, Dr. Hildebrand?
Yeah, that all sounds so great, Dr. Alston. And I think, you know, we're doing some things over here. We have an athletic training club, and a big part of what else can I do? I really listen to my students. So we hope our goal would be to involve individuals at Morgan State that are looking to continue on into athletic training in, you know, some of our presentations, workshops, some of those things that are happening. So that is on my list. I try to keep Dr. Alston in the loop when there's, of course, open houses and little things like that. But just more of that working together. And Morgan State has had some change in some of their athletic trainers as well. So we've been in communication with them to hopefully get, once that individual gets more acclimated, get that back on as a clinical option for our students that are in the program to now go back to Morgan State and complete a clinical rotation there. But, you know, I was just reflecting on my students and where they're from, and I do get a lot of interest from HBCUs, and it's starting to develop. Delaware State, North Carolina Central, Morgan State. I know I'm missing some where I have students from, but I think for us and where we are a diverse program. So that's, I love seeing that, you know, our numbers are actually the opposite of what is the normal trend. So I think, you know, where can we go from here? I mean, anywhere. It's we have the MOU on paper, but I'll work with anybody. I think those internship opportunities, especially what I'm getting is students that might go away for their undergrad, but they come back home for their grad. So Another big thing we've been doing is supporting the observation hours. So those students that are from the DC Baltimore area that went away, took some time off, they're now, I met with Colin, or I heard, you know, from this person to this person. And now we're getting them in that pipeline, just doing observation hours. So just continuing to publicize it, I think, and let it be known that this, we have these opportunities, and we have spots to fill. So, yeah.
What would be really fun, and I know it's doable, is to, have a field trip.
Yeah.
My Health 211, which is Care and Prevention of Athletic Injuries.
Yep.
We have a field trip. We come to Towson.
Yep.
We get to look and see. And, it's so important that if students can see it, they can be it. You know, that's,
Absolutely.
You know, they can see themselves in that setting.
Yep.
As opposed to just two-dimensional slides or, the textbook introduction.
Yeah.
You know, so we it'll be great if we can erect something like that, that, you know, just gets on the calendar, and it doesn't take that much to do it the second time or the third time.
Right.
You know,
awesome idea.
My answer to what's next is to increase the capacity of how we can affect some of these students. So increase the amount of pipelines in athletic training. So we take our exact thing that we just did and we place it in as many different athletic training areas as we can. We also expand this same pipeline into strength and conditioning, physical therapy, occupational therapy. Another thing, as we started this this pipeline work, we started the Allied Health Academy work with Morgan State. So picking that back up and seeing where that can roll. So I think that's how you do it. You just increase your capacity through the amount of pipelines and athletic training and the amount of fields that are included in these pipelines.
I think the other thing too is just when they're done, it's you know, we're not just turning them loose, the students loose and never there, you know, in terms of these mentorships. It's bringing the NATA's EDAC into it and connecting them with these students and the job events. I would also really like something that we've been talking about with some of our other partners is once, you know, you'll pay for some of their loans or some of their tuition back if they give you a year. So essentially now creating not just the pipeline to the graduate program, but now where am I going to go get my first job? And having some of that financial forgiveness back. So,
Baltimore City student who goes through our pipeline goes to school completely free.
Right.
So with 2 years of service back into the fellowship program. So,
right.
You know, we're able to reimburse them for 1 year of undergrad. And that's all they have after they go through the junior college pipeline. So through the fellowship program, students are able to go completely free of charge through to get their master's degree in 5 years. So it's a great program that we have. And again, it's about just providing opportunities. Our fellowship program has four points of emphasis: exposure, education, employment, and retention. So we expose the student athletes through some different media outlets that we have, our Bash Playbook, our warm-up series, which is a YouTube series, and then a PDF playbook that introduces athletic training, strength and conditioning, and different fields to students and student athletes. We also got the Corey Stringer Institute grant, which placed athletic trainers in city schools. So we expose these students to these jobs, and give them educational pathways, and we break down all the barriers to education through different pathways to success. We provide them employment by placing them in urban areas and schools that don't have athletic trainers, which then again start the cycle of exposure. So it's been the fellowship program is kind of how we are trying to solve the problem.
Those are all awesome answers. I'm Dr. Austin, were you getting ready to say something?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes I start talking and I just, I know everyone has, we got to wrap up soon. So what I'd like to do is ask each of you for what the take home message should be. And we can start with Claire, what should everybody know about this program and what,
after they listen to this episode, what would be the one thing you would want them to come away with?
Yeah, I think the one thing I want people to know about this program is it is a great opportunity. There's a great education behind it. There's two support systems that will encourage you throughout your undergrad matriculation into grad school. And the transition is seamless. You know, it's not something that's hard to handle. As long as you communicate, they're going to communicate with you, and they want you to be a part of this program. Not just a number, not just a statistic, but they want to see you learn. They want to see you grow, and they want to see you go out into this world and perform at the best of your ability, just like everybody knows you can do. So that's my take home message.
Awesome.
It's great. Do we have time for questions by some of the student attendees?
Oh, I can sit here all day. I know some people have somewhere to go, but if we have questions, I would love to get questions answered.
Can we do those at the end?
Absolutely. So, so Colin, then would you want to do your take home?
My big take homes. One, please, if you need more information, visit our website, www.baltimoreathletehealth.org. That has all the information about all of our projects and programs that we have, our jersey swap, our state dinner, also the bash ball, which again is May 3rd. And if you cannot attend, please feel free to donate. All of the donations around this go to our fellowship program. And any student out there that wants to get involved, please hit us up, contact us on social media, follow us, and we will be able to get you connected with the right pathway.
Awesome. Dr. Hildebrand?
I think, reflecting on what everybody's saying, it's all really, really great. I think one thing is I'll kind of go back to that solution oriented. And I think we can all get bogged down with complaining and what are the problems and trying to actually, okay, this is a solution. I think it's going to work, but then putting it in motion. And when somebody comes back and says, well, we don't have something like that, or I don't know if we can do that, you know, I just try to keep giving those examples and here's what it could look like, and just keep focusing on, you know, the solution. You know, people say, well, you might only get one student. Great. That's one more. I just try. I know people talk about the positive mindset, but I think that's it. I mean, I think I've got some really great people to work with. It was long. It was, another email, you know, and that gets frustrating, but community partnerships, solution oriented, just keep going after it, honestly. And so what if it's just one? Right now it's one. It's going to be more than one. We'll show you.
Awesome. And last but not least, Dr. Alston.
Well, from my seat, I would tell the students here and those listening that the world is your oyster. And there are so many wonderful opportunities at your disposal, but you have got to find yourself in alignment with the expectations, with what's expected, to be competitive. That means to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder to many other students who are also qualified, to ensure that you are counted and that you have the opportunity, as they do, to go through that door and to make your way to Emerald City. So this is all about delayed gratification. Too many students of this millennial generation, they see something and they want it. And they say, give it to me because I want it, and hurry up about it because I said so. Well, this is not at all what we're doing here. Right. This is a very respectable profession that has its standards, its codes of ethics, its requirements, its competitive edge. And you've got to meet those things. So the best thing that a student can do who is serious about their career, about becoming an athletic trainer, is to do a little research, find out what the requirements are to get to that graduate application. Make sure you're checking every box off, including what's on your resume, because those are also vetted. And if you have any questions, which you should, you ask. Get comfortable with asking questions. Don't make assumptions. Make sure you stay on top of your own game. And trust me, you have folks in your corner, starting with your undergraduate professors, that extends across the bridge to the graduate program. We're cheering for you. We are cheering for you, but you've got to do your work, and you've got to do it well, and you've got to make sure you achieve what is expected in the end. And that's all I have to say about that. It's, again, delayed gratification, and you will earn your crown when you earn it. You'll get your crown when you earn it. And your future patients, your athletes, will be all the better for it, because you will be a skilled, mature, learned professional.
That was a word right there. Love it. So we mentioned a bunch of times, and I know we're wrapping up. I just wanted to make sure everyone knows where to find you all, if you all are on social media. I think that's where young people are these days. So if you guys want to plug yourselves, your social media handles, your program social media handles, we would love to include those in the show. And then after we shut down the recording of the episode, we can do a Q&A if you guys want. Go ahead, Colin. Where can people find you on the socials? Oh, his audio is reconnecting. Colin, where can people find you on the socials?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I was listening. You can follow the Baltimore Area Sports Health Initiative at @BringUSA_SportsHealth. So @BringUSA_SportsHealth, Bring America Sports Health. BaltimoreAthleteHealth.org is our website. All the information can be found there.
Okay. Dr. Alston, where can people follow your programs? Do you know if you have social media handles or?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to go to Morgan State's website. That is Morgan, www.morgan.edu. And then in the search bar, you can type in the department name, Health Education. And then you can find my email in there, as well as the pre-professional curriculum. I've got to figure out how to keep up with the social media platforms, which I haven't quite done too well yet. Yeah.
You got to get some of these young people on it, right, Claire? Dr. Hildebrand, where could people follow you and your programs on the socials?
Yeah, so we have a pretty active, not by my doing, Dr. Olson, don't worry, I have the same problem, but our students, our athletic training students, keep a pretty informational Instagram account, TU_ATS, like athletic training students, so TU_ATS, and you can also find information about the athletic training program here at Towson by going to the Towson website and typing in athletic training, Masters of Science athletic training, graduate athletic training, anything like that in the search bar, and that will pop up as well.
Okay. And Claire, do you have a place where people can follow you on the socials?
Yeah, sure. I am on LinkedIn, Claire MacArthur, or hopefully you'll be able to see me on the Towson athletic training page. So yeah,
that is awesome. So while we're plugging ourselves, we are also on social media. You can follow the Top That Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @_top_DAT. That's at the top DAT. Underscores in between. And you can also find us on LinkedIn at top-DAT and number one. That's top-DAT1. So that's going to do it for us today. Until next time, I am your Uplift Athletic Trainer, Dr. Brandon Holland, reminding you that the difference between a bad day and a good day is your outlook. Change your attitude, change your life.
And I am Dr. Donita Valentine, the Unapologetic Athletic Trainer, reminding you to stand up for something, because if you don't stand up for something, you will fall for anything.
That's a word. All right, we're going to drop this one. I don't want to wait till Tuesday to drop this one. So as soon as I'm finished with editing, I'm going to push it out, if that's cool with everybody, because this is huge. Thanks again for tuning in. We will see you all next time.
Thank you.